I know you'd expect me to have something to say about Africa tonight, so I did decide to say a few words, although Ernest has already mentioned the fact that we'll be speaking about joy. You notice I said the word quietly because we also have the word blessed quietness. In Africa, we prayed last week for Liberia for the elections that were coming on last Saturday. The news we've had, the report so far, is that everything went pretty orderly for that sort of thing. And it appears like the ballots have been counted in the majority, and Charles Taylor has about 75% of the ballots in his favor. So he would seem to be the one to be the president of Liberia now. And we need to pray for everything would be accepted by the opposition, and that he would be installed and be conscious of the fact that he is ruling for all and not just for his own group. Also in Congo, we've had word that Ted and Dana Whitmer and also Keith and Margaret Ferdinando, who are working with the seminary, will be going back this next month. So that's a point of praise that they feel they can get back, and of course prayer for them. And of course we've heard that Pearl Winterburn is back. She sent her first prayer letter from Congo. And she rejoices to be back in Chabi, but she asked for prayer specifically. Ladies have all heard this, but I don't know whether the men have heard it or not. They asked for prayer because of the condition of the folk. He said these poor folk had nothing to begin with, and they've lost so much in the looting, in a Dohu especially. And it's hard to know how to minister to them in that condition. She got 8 of her 20 pieces of luggage safely to Chabi. But there are 12 at the time of that letter that are still somewhere between the United States, Nairobi, and Chabi. So we'll be praying about those other 12 pieces of baggage. And remember, these aren't personal effects. These are things to help in the work out there. Also, there was a direct shipment of sawmill parts from Oregon to Nairobi, and she hasn't had any confirmation of that. So that's a matter of concern, too. Now, this is for the sawmill at Adohu, which will be run by the Africans for gaining the funds to pay the salary of the school teachers. And that will be encouraging the school and keeping things going because the government doesn't pay the school teachers anymore. So there's our bit on Africa, if you could add that to your prayer list. Now, this last week, Eleanor and I have been reading the book of Chronicles, and in the 12th chapter, as it talked about David becoming the new king, it had this to say: all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Sounds like Africa. Moreover, they were nigh them, and even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. And if we read again, when the ark is brought to Jerusalem, again it was a time of celebration and joy with lots of music, musical instruments, and the loud-sounding cymbals were there. So joy is a characteristic of God's people in the Old Testament. And if you remember back to the Lord's Day, we heard a lot about joy in the messages and also in the singing. Joy is a characteristic of God's people in this age as well. And so it's fitting in an evening in summer especially to think a bit about joy. Now, we remember, of course, that Paul was the one who wrote the epistle to the Philippians, and in that he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And there is the epistle of joy. Now, I realize that Mr. Woodhouse has led us through this chapter bit by bit, passage by passage, to give us a background. So this is review tonight. In looking at some of the things that Paul said about joy, and specifically the things that gave Paul joy. What are the sources of joy that Paul found and he conveyed to the Philippians in this Philippian letter? We remember that the letter to the Philippians was a thank you note. They'd sent him a gift. He sent back his thanks. But Paul wasn't content just to say thank you. He thanked the Lord for them as well and went on to encourage them in their Christian living and to inform them that he expected to leave soon and he would be back among them, and he was looking forward to that time. Where was Paul when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians? He wrote this thank you letter. You remember? He was in confinement, wasn't he? He was confined to his own house, a rented house that he had there in Rome. And as he was confined and not able to move about, he had a soldier chained on one side and a soldier chained on the other side. And you can't do too much when your arms are settled that way, at least with your arms. He wasn't free to move about, but the Word of God is not bound, and it wasn't bound in his case, because as people came, he was able to explain the kingdom of God to them. He was able to preach Christ and able to carry on a ministry just the same. So when Paul wrote about joy, he wrote about joy as he was active in his work and yet confined at the same time. And a lot of us can identify with this idea of being limited in the things we can do. So remember, as Paul talked about joy, these are the things that gave him joy, even though he himself was limited. Let's take a look now at some of these things that Paul says were a source of joy for him. We can start in the beginning. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for you, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there we find that not many verses from the beginning, the word joy is there. It's the prayer for the Philippians, Paul's prayer for them, that goes with thanksgiving and joy. And in verse 5 it says, for your fellowship in the gospel. And of course we remember what that fellowship is. It's explained to us over in chapter 4. In verses 15 and 16. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or had fellowship with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So it's quite clear that the fellowship he's talking about now is a matter of a gift of funds to be able to help Paul with his ministry. And of course, we remember he was in that rented house. How would he pay the rent? Well, Philippians sent gifts. He had a team of workers with him, and they all had to eat. How would they eat? Well, Philippians sent gifts, and perhaps others. The Lord supplied, but the Philippians were there in their gift to help him in these particular needs in his ministry. And as we remember, and that was what gave Paul joy. He was there. He was able to open his mouth and to speak the word of God. He was able to preach the gospel. And the Philippians were behind him in their town, and they were still sharing with him in that ministry. So partnership in ministry definitely gave Paul joy. Well, for us, how does that work? You remember when George Stern was here, and we all rejoiced in the way in which he'd been able to purchase and giving us that report. And of course, our joy came in the fact we were able to send gifts to him several times for his ministry there. Now, I know that's putting things around a little differently. Our joy came in giving to him, whereas Paul's joys came in the fact that gifts were given to him. But the idea is the same. Participation in the ministry of the word, ministry of the gospel, brings joy. And Paul found joy in the fact that the Philippians helped them, and we find joy in the fact that we can help George Stern. He had joy too, didn't he? Joy the fact that we are able to help him out. So there is number one in the matter of sources of joy, partnership in ministry. There's a second one also in the first chapter, and we pick up the thread in verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You see, as Paul was writing to the Philippians, he wanted to give some statement about his present situation and how he valued it. And that was where in verse 12 he said, "What the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Whatever's happened to me, don't worry about it. It's for the advance of the gospel." And then he went to explain exactly what he meant. Because as he was there and giving testimony, as people came into the house to speak to him, others of his team could get out to the marketplace and other places in Rome, and they were able to preach the gospel there. And so because Paul was in Rome in prison, others of the team were around and preaching at the same time. But not just that. Some of the Christians who were not of the same mind as Paul, I suppose perhaps the Judaizers, were out preaching also. And they were trying to put Paul in. He said, now if we just make enough commotion preaching the gospel out here, that'll get the authorities all upset about it, and they will give Paul a hard time. So Paul saw that. He saw through that ruse. But what was his decision? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So with Christ preached, Paul rejoiced. That was a second source of joy for him. When he preached Christ himself, he rejoiced. When he heard of others preaching Christ, even though they weren't of the same team, he rejoiced, because the aim was to have people know about Christ. And that fits for us too, doesn't it? Do you remember back a couple of years about this time when our brother Ernest Woodhouse was sick, and there was a girl in the working in the kitchen crew, I believe, to whom Elsie Warnes had witnessed, And Elsie was trying to arrange an appointment between this girl and Ernest Woodhouse in order that the girl might get the gospel message. Well, Ernest was on his back in bed and wasn't able to do anything about it. But I remember when he stood up and told us about this, because he said, because he was sick, the girl came directly to Elsie, and Elsie had the privilege of leading that girl to Christ. And because of that, Ernest rejoiced. When he was stood in this very pulpit and told about it, he was rejoicing. And you see, that's a source of joy for us too. Joy for Elsie because she could lead the girl to Christ. And joy for Ernest because he knew that Christ was being preached. Even though he was flat on his back in bed, still the gospel was going out. So we can rejoice too in the fact that the gospel is preached. I appreciated so much the prayer of one of our brothers concerning the use of tracts. I was visiting one of our residents in the hospital a week or so ago, and she said, "Did you happen to have any tracts with you? I'd like to give out tracts here in the hospital. Here's an opportunity for a testimony for the Lord." I hate to confess it, but I had only one single tract in my briefcase, but I did give that to her. I haven't heard a report since, but there you are, limitations, right? But opportunities also. And that's continuing on the tradition of Paul and of Ernest Woodhouse. Another source of joy comes in chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And there again we find the word joy, but used in a special sense. He says, now make my joy full, fulfill ye my joy. And then he tells them what they have to do to make his joy full. And that concerns being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And we might term that unity among believers. So Paul says, when there's unity among believers expressed, that gives me joy. And notice in the beginning of verse 1, there are four things that are the background for unity. Consolation in Christ. Now the word consolation is translated elsewhere, encouragement. That's the same word that's used in another form for the comforter in John, in the upper room discourse. So if there be any encouragement of Christ, the encouragement of being in Christ, if there's any comfort that comes from the love of God, and if there's any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and if any tender mercies and compassion, if we have these four things, then you've got a basis on which you can build this request I'm going to make. Fulfill ye my joy. One of the grammarians has made the observation that in Greek this word if clause is the kind that's assumed to be already there. And many times you can translate the if as since. So since you have these four things, since you have the encouragement of being in Christ, since you have the comfort that comes from the love of God, since you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and tender mercies and compassion, go ahead, fulfill my joy, and be joy fulfilled in unity. Having like mind, having the sameness of love, being of one accord and of one mind, one together in thinking and together in purpose, as others have expressed it. So there is the source of unity for Paul. He would find complete joy when unity is established. Of course, this intimates that there wasn't unity in the Philippian church.
And we remember from chapter 4 that mentioned two ladies who are active in the Lord's work who needed to find unity again. But this is a source of joy too then. Unity among believers. If we think about our own experience, we remember that there have been visitors who have come here who observe the way in which you all carry out your living and your care one for the other, and they have said, this is a place of Christian of unity. And we rejoice in that unity that the Lord has given. And one of our prayer warriors tonight prayed about that fact that we are here in a place where the Lord has placed us and He's prepared the place. And that's one thing He has given. So that's a source of joy too, isn't it? It's also a source of concern because I know that it's not automatic. And it's something we have to work at continually. We have to watch out for the things that would rob us of that unity and work in such a way that we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But the unity we have, that's a source of joy. You've probably heard on the radio today that this is getting off into the political from the religious, but there's a point there, that there was a meeting among the Republican leaders last night, and it was to try to obtain unity again in their ranks, because there had been a movement to evict Newt Gingrich as the leader. That'd be the Republican House leaders. And the statement was they came out of that with unity, but they went into it with a request for forgiveness. And that's as far as I want to go. I'm not in getting into politics, but I just want to mention the fact that even in politics, they see the need for forgiveness. Is that something that's taught in the Bible, forgiveness, the need for forgiveness, and asking it? Yes, it is. And so, leaving the politics aside then, to realize that even in that particular situation, and so many times in our situation, we're not perfect. We get into something where we need to go and ask forgiveness of others, or others need to come to us. And so we shouldn't be afraid of following out what the Scripture says when we get into the point of needing forgiveness, to recognize it, that we might be able to maintain this unity that God has given us. In chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here is where Paul calls the Philippian believers, my joy. He also calls them his crown, his reward. But these who have found Christ, either through his ministry or through those who were saved through his ministry, he says, you're my joy. So obviously, there's a source of joy in believers for Paul. And as we go on, it talks about standing fast in the Lord. And that would be part of it as well, I presume. The fact that not just believers, but believers that are growing spiritually. Now, in 125, he talks about spiritual progress. Remember, he talks about it, well, I don't know whether it's better that I should stay here or go to be with the Lord. Because he realizes he's under accusation and his head could be taken off, in which case, that'd be fine. He'd go to be with the Lord. But if he stays, he's going to be able to carry out his ministry. And then in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. For the progress, your progress in the faith and your joy in the faith. And so that, I think, is back of this statement, you are my joy. His joy is in their spiritual progress. And we had a report again, a request concerning Camp Horizon. And that's one place where we're looking to find joy, aren't we? In Christian growth. We've had the request from Margaret Gilbert concerning the 12, 14-year-olds that were in her cabin 2 weeks ago. We've heard that Andy Hamilton was there last week, and we rejoice in the fact that there's a preaching and sharing of the gospel there, but also we're waiting for the report of the spiritual growth that will come. And we know, for example, with the campers that Margaret was talking to, there will be a working of the Spirit, and there would be spiritual growth. Salvation for those who needed it, but for the Christians, a matter of growth. And of course, for Margaret herself, she can't be involved in that ministry without growing spiritually. And these things give us joy, just as Paul had joy in the believers of the church at Philippi. So there is joy in partnership in the ministry. There's joy in the preaching of Christ. There's joy in unity among the believers and joy in the spiritual growth of believers. But the highest point of joy is given us in chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now that cuts through all of it, doesn't it? It's rejoicing in not things or situations, but in the Lord Himself. And that was the highest point that Paul found for joy. And again we remember in chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That was the highest point. And that fit in with what Paul had to say about his value, set of values and his aim in chapter 3. He didn't count the various privileges he had as a Hebrew, as an Israelite, but he, verse 7, chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead. And there is his highest point in 10, verse 10, that I may know him. And that is the know of experience. It's not intuitive knowledge. It's the know of experience. And the particular tense in the Greek at that point means action point. That is, in order that it might enter into the knowledge. The entrance is a point. The knowledge is a continual process. He wanted to enter into a life of getting to know Christ. And in that, he rejoiced. And would continue to rejoice. So as we think of Paul's experience there in the prison, in the rented house, where people came to him and he was without hindrance able to speak to them, we can think of our limitations and we can set them aside. We can have joy in the partnership and the ministry, in the preaching of Christ, as we hear the preaching of Christ and take part ourselves. as we see the unity of the brethren, of believers acted out before us, as we see the spiritual growth of believers, and as we ourselves enter into more and more knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the joy which Thou hast given to us, joy which stems from our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died to take the penalty of our sins. And that gave us the joy of sins forgiven. The one who was raised from the dead in order that the power of his resurrection might be in us for new life. And we thank thee for that new life in Christ. So, Father, we come with joy before thee this evening because of what thou hast done through him. And because we can have joy in our partnership in the ministry. And we can have joy as we hear of Christ preached or are given opportunity ourselves. We can have joy as we participate in the unity of believers and as we work listening to thy Holy Spirit to maintain it. And we can have joy in the spiritual growth of believers and joy in our fellowship with thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well. So we thank thee for this provision for us and pray that thou would enable us to continue to enter into it as we come in Jesus' name.